I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive, where the Buffalo Bills are practicing as we speak. Said to be a light practice, as they've got an abbreviated week getting set to play Thursday. They're working out outdoors at the AdPro Sports Training Center. They leave tomorrow for Dallas and a matchup with the 6-5 Cowboys. Mitch Moore's going to be limited today with his hand injury. Sean McDermott says we'll know more about his status after practice. Wide receiver Robert Foster limited today with his hamstring. Ty Insecki out of practice today, will not practice. He is said to be week to week with his ankle injury. Cowboys are going to be without their starting nose tackle Antoine Woods Thursday. He's got a knee, and they are without linebacker Leighton Vander Esch, it appears, for yet another week. Bills Cowboys Thursday, 4:30 p.m. at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. We got the broadcast on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'll have the call of the game up in the booth with Eric Woods. Sal Capaccio will be on the sidelines. Former Bills head coach Hank Bulla, head coach in the mid-80s, passed away yesterday. He was 85 years old. He won four games, lost 17 games in parts of the 85 and 86 seasons for the Buffalo Bills, replaced Kay Stevenson and preceded Marv Levy. Hank Bulla, a native of East Lansing, Michigan, home of Michigan State University, a Michigan State graduate who played there and coached there as well. Hank Bulla passed away last night at the age of 85. Bills' Bruce Smith has been named a captain for this year's Pro Bowl. Terrell Davis, Darryl Green, Bruce Smith, and Michael Vick will be the 2020 Pro Bowl Legends captains. That game features a matchup between the AFC and the NFC next January. Lamar Jackson tore it up last night for the Baltimore Ravens, threw five touchdown passes, ran for 95 yards, an unstoppable force in Baltimore's 45-6 win in Los Angeles over the Rams. The Baltimore Ravens come here on December 8th. Cincinnati Bengals made another quarterback change yesterday. They'll go back to veteran Andy Dalton, starting with this week's game against the Jets. And the Buffalo Sabres closed out their three-game road trip with a loss to Tampa Bay last night. Sabres home against Calgary tomorrow night. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in our Seneca studio. How you doing? How's it feel to be back?
Good.
It feels like you were gone longer than you were.
It was a long weekend. Yeah. But I was here Friday.
I know. You know what? I think it's because there was a game and you were gone, and now there's another game. I feel, look, it's essentially the Friday now before this game, right?
Friday to Friday.
I told you, my whole week's all screwed up. I really look forward to after this game, having a weekend off, having to getting to watch some of the other NFL games, and just kind of chilling after hustling. I feel like I've been catching up all week since the game.
Yeah, it'll feel good to take a deep breath this next weekend when you can, a little holiday weekend, you start thinking about Christmas after Thanksgiving, you know, and stuff. So start moving move the calendar a little bit. But I really enjoyed watching the Bills game on TV and hearing the Kevin Harlan, Rich Gannon. I worked with them all 17 weeks last year. Great broadcast crew. Rich works really hard at it. Kevin is a great voice, great excitement, really engaged in every game and brings it out, you know, really good. It was really a lot of fun to watch this game. The Bills looked like a really good football team. We were talking to and I was just reading one of this from a guy named Mike Clay, and I don't know Mike Clay. It's with the NFL. The Bills, for the remaining five games that they have, the Bills have the hardest remaining schedule of any team in the National Football League. And you can say what you want about how easy their first half of their schedule was. And I think they did benefit from playing some teams that were struggling to get it together. But they won games while they were learning and improving. And I think, particularly for Bills fans who watch this team week in, week out, you got to feel good about the progress they've made this season and how they're coming together and starting to play better and better. The last two games, notwithstanding, against the Dolphins, and the Denver Broncos, with the number four team in the NFL, the Bills hung 20 points on them, and the Broncos couldn't score. Well, that game was over after the second field goal in the first half. But the Bills kind of piled on them. I mean, they beat them by 17 points. That's a large margin in today's NFL. You got to feel good about this team going forward. They held it together through some tough stretches. They got hit in the mouth by a couple of really good teams and a couple of teams who gave them their best effort. But they've won 8 games coming into the last month of the season. You got to feel really good, a month and a little more than a month. You got to feel really good about where they have evolved to. And I'm not saying they're a finished product, and they're going to have to play some of their best football in this last 5 weeks of the season to continue this stretch, to continue a winning path. But, man, oh, man, you got to feel like this is what you wanted them to do.
Yep.
You wanted them to give themselves a chance. You got 5 games left. 8-3 is a great spot to be. Let's see. I'm ready to tee it up on Thanksgiving. I want to see them measure up to this team.
I'm interested if you agree with me on this, Steve. Look, I know who they played. I know where they've been. I know how they've won. I've seen it all. Called them all.
Right.
Talked about it here every day, 5 days a week. So I know where they've been, and I know what lies ahead in terms of the strength of schedule for sure. I know that. But you know what? These last 2 games, Miami and Denver, have put me in the frame of mind like, yeah, I know what's ahead. You know, I think the Bills, the way they're playing right now, I think they can beat any one of these 5 remaining teams. Yes, the Jets, they've already done that. But I think they can win Thursday in Dallas. I really do. It's a winnable game for Buffalo. I think Baltimore coming in here after the great performance last night and another tough game, right? They've got San Francisco coming up this Sunday. I think Baltimore is a game the Bills might be able to get. At the Steelers, they can win that for sure. At the Patriots, they only lost by 6 here. They held them, the 16 points, played them almost as tough as anybody. And then, of course, the Jets. All I'm saying is the Bills, I think, have stepped up their game enough, evidenced by the last 2 wins. I know who they played, that I think they can win any one of these and probably more than one of these remaining 5 games. I really believe that.
Yeah, no question. I agree with you. It's been fun to watch this team. And that's one of the things that, I don't know, you go back, you know, the last 15, 20 years, it's been hard to, you know, there's been moments where this team has looked pretty good. But this is a season that they've put together. And there's always warts on every season. But this is a season where the only wart is the fact that nobody else is any good. The Bills look pretty good. They're tough to beat for anybody. You got one team that kind of lumped them up, and that was the Philadelphia Eagles. The Patriots struggled with them here. The Cleveland game was a really hard-fought game where you missed a couple of field goals. It could have been the difference, you know, that kind of thing. This is a team that's really tough to beat, and I think the Cowboys are going to find that out this weekend. I don't know if the Bills can go in there and run off and leave the Cowboys, because the Cowboys have that, you know, that big, strong bully of a running game with a huge offensive line. We're going to have to defend against it. But, man, oh, man, I can't wait to see it. This is, you know, whether the Bills have, you know, a lot is being said about what this last month and 5 weeks of the regular season is going to mean to this team, and I think they're right. I think it's going to be a real yardstick for how far they've come, and I think the Bills will measure up. Whether they win a lot of games or not, they're going to earn some respect for being a team that's just – as we've seen, I said, you know, they may not be great, but they're tough to beat.
Hey, what do you think about Thursday's game? What's the biggest challenge the Bills face against the Dallas Cowboys? That's our Twitter poll today. Getting good response on it. Want to hear from you. Right now on the poll, 700 votes in. The biggest challenge the Bills face, 60% of you say it's Zeke. Ezekiel Elliott, 2-time NFL rushing champ. 27% of you say it's their passing attack. Dak Prescott and their great receivers. 9% say it's the Cowboys' pass rush on defense. 4% have something else in mind. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Steve in Orchard Park. Hello, Steve. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hi. How you doing, guys?
Good.
A couple quick comments. You know, Murph, you said at the beginning of this show, you know, Dallas, they certainly have a lot of talent. And they kind of, you know, in some ways remind me of the Browns. A lot of talent, but just haven't put it all together this year. There's something, you know, gone awry with that team. I don't know what it is, but I think the difference is the Bills, they really play together. We have a system that we stick to, and we're just starting to hit our peak now offensively. So I really like our chances on Thursday. I think we can beat anybody, like you said, Murph. And here's a stat you guys may not know. In the last 7 games, Dak Prescott produced 14 touchdowns. He's had 7 interceptions. In the last 7 games, Josh Allen's produced 15 touchdowns while only throwing 2 interceptions.
It's a good one. So I like it.
I like Josh's game right now. And I think the key for us is we need to run the football. If we can run the football, even 100, 120, 10 yards, and, you know, not put it all on Josh, we got a great chance to win because we got a hell of a defense.
I like that. Thanks very much, Steve. Thanks for calling in. John Murphy and Steve Tasker with a special guest just joining us right off the practice field. We've got rookie offensive lineman Cody Ford in studio. Hello, Cody. Thanks for coming by. How are
you? Yes, sir. I'm good. How are you?
Good. That was a short practice, huh? Probably just what you needed.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you got your mind around the fact you got to travel tomorrow?
Yeah, actually, you know, it kind of hit me earlier this morning. I was like, dang, we got to leave tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is my first experience, you know, being a rookie. But even in college, we never had any quick turnarounds like this.
Right.
We had John Brown on our show sitting right over here yesterday, and he said how he took it upon himself as a veteran to kind of let the young guys, you and others, know, hey, you got to take care of yourself this week. Watch what you're doing. Watch what you eat. You know, take care of your body. That might be the key because you're looking for a quick recovery from a game on Sunday, right?
Yeah, for sure. I know a lot of the guys even went in Sunday night after the game, got a lot of treatment done. And then, like, yesterday was more of a recovery day and mental day for Dallas. But you know, I was in there pretty early because my body was hurting just like everybody else's. I was like, man, I got to get a jump on this now before the game.
You guys had a wrench thrown in it when Mitch Morse had to come out of the game, couldn't snap the ball because of his finger. How did talk about the adjustment, the conversations when was it Feliciano went down to center, Spencer Long came in. What was the vibe like when Mitch went down?
You know, it really wasn't any, like, disconnect between, you know, John and Mitch and then, you know, from the guards, from John to Spence. You know, it was more so, you know, we know everybody knows everybody's job and, you know, we all trust each other. We love each other. So it was like next man up and, you know, we just kept it going and that was the mindset.
We were wondering, Cody, if, you know, the way the preseason played out and in training camp when you had guys injured, Mitch took a while to get into the working with the offensive line. Maybe that helps now deep into the season. You know who can plug in and go where. You've played with this group that you have up there right now, right?
Yeah. So, like, a lot of time during camp, the rotation was never the same.
Right.
And I think it really did help us out a lot for where we are now in the situation like we had last game.
What's the word? I mean, everything's abbreviated. What's been the scouting report on the Dallas defensive line? A lot of talented guys up there. Give us a thumbnail on what you expect them to be like.
You know, they play hard. That's the biggest thing I can say. It's the most obvious thing that they have to me as far as compared to other D-lines as a unit. You know, they all play hard. They all give a lot of effort, and I think that separates them a lot from other guys. But, you know, they have guys like DeMarcus Lawrence and Robert Quinn, you know, elite pass rushers. Who can cause havoc if you don't pay attention to him really well.
With Cody Ford, Bills rookie offensive lineman, let's talk about last Sunday a little bit. You went up against an elite pass rusher in Von Miller. You saw a lot of him, not exclusively him, but what did you think of him? What did you think of his game and more importantly, your game against the Broncos last Sunday?
First and foremost, he's a great guy, and he's a great pass rusher, and he's a great player. He'll go down in history as one of the greats, I'm sure. I had to realize the opportunity that I had to, you know, go up against a guy like that, and I just wanted to make the most of it and, you know, just try to build on that leading into this week.
Is that mostly speed with Von Miller that you worry about, or are there other more important things?
I mean, with a guy like him, you know, his speed is the most known thing
right.
that people know about him. But, you know, also with a guy like him, that allows him to, kind of reach into his toolbox for other
sure.
things, If you're too worried too much about the speed, he'll always have something countered off of that. And, you know, guys like him and other guys like DeMarcus Lawrence, you know, you can't give them the same thing every time because they're not going to give you the same thing every
right.
time.
And I have one more for you about the Denver game. You went from about half the snaps at right tackle to all of the snaps. Did you feel it Sunday or yesterday or maybe even today? I mean, it was twice as much work for you.
Yeah, definitely. You know, kind of when I was hitting that earlier, you know, my body was hurting.
Yeah.
First full game, you know, going up against guys like Vaughn, you know, definitely puts a toll on the body. And, you know, but, I mean, we got great trainers and great plans for treatment. So, just like I said, I was in there early attacking that.
One of the fun things about this last game against the Broncos was the fact that Frank Gore surpassed Barry Sanders for all-purpose yards and stuff. That had to be a great conversation for the offensive lineman because when you're an old guy like me, you're going to think back and think, hey, listen, I was there when he broke the record. Kind of, it does go into the kind of your file cabinet and say, yeah, I was there for that.
Yeah, facts. You know, we obviously weren't there for the beginning of his
right.
career. But, you know, being on the field at that moment is still special to, you know, be able to share it with a guy like that. And, you know, he gives all of the linemen that's ever played with him, he gives all of them the glory. And that was pretty sweet. You know, he didn't leave anybody out. He didn't pick and choose. You know, he gave it to everybody.
Yeah. With Cody Ford, Bills offensive lineman. And so you do have, you know, you'll see a lot of DeMarcus Lawrence this week. And he's not the same as Von Miller, is he? I mean, this guy's kind of longer and he's tough against the run. Maybe I don't know if you could say that about Von Miller to that extent. This guy is almost a complete package at defensive end, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, I was kind of discussing it with somebody else. I think it was one of the coaches, honestly. But I was like, yo, the one thing that I think is really good about DeMarcus Lawrence is that in the run game, he doesn't take any plays off.
Right.
You know, a lot of these guys who play DN, and, you know, they get paid to pass to rush the passer, but DeMarcus Lawrence, he wants to play the run as well. And I think that's an identity thing over there. And, you know, I think it goes with the whole D-line. And, you know, it's going to have to be a physical game, and we're going to have to match it.
So you guys spend a lot of time, and for people who are listening, I know offensive linemen, you spend a lot of time watching you guys yourselves in the running game and stuff. Well, give us an idea of how – much Devin Singletary sees when he's running the ball. I mean, the guy sidesteps guys who are like two people away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He sees things like three guys removed, right? That's unique and special, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, most backs aren't like that. You know, most of them kind of predetermine where they're going to go before the play even snap based off of history with the play or, like, just film. But, you know, Devin's a guy who, like, trusts us up front, trusts his coaching, and, you know, he's a competitor and he wants to play hard, and you know he got those moves to him, and
yeah.
If you're not careful, he'll have your ankles getting wrapped up.
Yeah. Hey Cody, in your career, high school, college, have you played much football on Thanksgiving Day? Have you done it before at all?
Never have I ever played any game on Thanksgiving Day.
Even a turkey bowl in the front yard.
No. Nah, when we had turkey at the house, you know, nobody was outside. We were all eating it.
But what do you think about playing on the holiday this week?
You know, it'll be an awesome experience. You know, growing up watching it in a football family, you know, it was always Thanksgiving Day. Hey, let's get the game on and let's watch it and let's have a great day.
Mm-hmm. When you were going to college at Oklahoma, did you get sick of hearing about the Dallas Cowboys out that way?
No,
because I'm
really
sick of it. And I'm this far away.
No, I mean, but you know, being so close to Dallas, it was always the Dallas Cowboys hat every time you look. But
did you ever have you ever played in this stadium before?
Oh, yeah, I played last two Big 12 championships. Right. Last one was against Texas.
Right.
We were talking earlier on the show about how games there, it seems, are more about show business than football sometimes. Is that even in the Big 12 championship games? Did you find that to be
I mean, from my experience with the Big 12s, it was more about the game.
Good.
So I can't really speak on the NFL games in there, but, I mean, playing in the Big 12, it was awesome. You know, the crowd was into it, and it was more about us and, you know, the game itself.
And this Thursday's game is about the game. You guys seem pretty well suited to that. You guys seem like a group that kind of plugs into what's important, at least so far this year, huh?
Yeah, you know, we just try to play the game the right way. And, you know, that's physical, execute, and, you know, just go out there and have fun with the guys who you grind with. You wake up, you know, you see them 7 a.m. in the morning, you see them 4:30 in the afternoon, you know.
Give us an idea. Murph and I have been sitting here. We've watched you guys through training camp all the way down. Remember in Carolina, you down there in 9,000 degree heat, you know, yeah, right? So, and now you're here. And we mentioned it earlier in this show today. This is a much different football team now than it was 3 months ago, even when the season started. You're better offensively. You're more productive offensively. Your offensive line, you've got more, you know, you've got a whole college season under your belt now, right? So, give us an idea of what you see when you look around the locker room. Maybe it doesn't even dawn on you that things have changed just in the course of this one season.
Yeah, you know, since I got here in the summer for rookie mini camp, you know, we've been building on team first, team first, team first, and no matter what happens, you know, we always know we got each other, and you know, we got the guy next to us. And I think building that from the summer to now has really helped us, you know, bond and things like that. And I think at this point, you know, everybody's officially bought into what we got going on and where we want to be and where we want to go, and everybody knows the process and what it takes, and like I said, everybody's buying in. So it's just everybody's molding together and things like that, you know, and you really don't even realize it unless you sit down and observe, but you can feel it, and you can feel it in the rooms, in the locker room, and on the field. And you know, everything's moving fast on the field. Being for me, like, I'm a rookie, everything's still moving fast. But, you know, I have guys next to us, to me, who could slow it down, and we all just communicate and things like that.
Things are moving fast this week, right? A game on Thursday. Coach, yeah. Thanks for this. Thanks for spending
great
a few minutes
you,
with
us.
Sir, no problem.
Cody Ford, Buffalo second-round draft pick, the offensive lineman. Steve and I coming back with more, including some Hall of Fame news. We'll talk about that when we return. One Bills live from our Seneca studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Steve Tasker coming to you from the Seneca studio. The Bills have wrapped up their practice on this weird abbreviated play a week, getting ready to play Thursday on Thanksgiving Day. Cody Ford was great. It was good to talk with him. We're going to hear from Josh Allen in a moment. He has talked to the media today as well here. But there is news today coming out of Canton, Ohio. The list of 25 semifinalists of modern era players for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2023. Players eligible for the first time, Troy Polamalu, wide receiver Reggie Wayne, linebacker Patrick Willis. First time eligible. One guy not first time eligible, but he's eligible again, and the only special teamer. Sitting right next to me here, Steve Tasker on the list of 25 semifinalists with his Houston and Buffalo career. He's been a semifinalist seven times, the last time in 2013,
yeah,
seven years ago.
It's been a while.
Look,
for those of you who are listening, this is my final year of eligibility.
Yeah, what do you mean those of you who are listening? It's your final year, but you haven't been a semifinalist in 7 years. Now you're there on the list of 25. That says something to me. Somebody is out to put you in there, my man, this year, Hall of Fame. I'm just saying.
Somebody besides
you. How do you go 7 years? No, I don't care if you win, but how do you go? Just kidding. How do you go seven years not as a semifinalist and now all of a sudden you're in? Doesn't that say something to you? The campaign's paid off? What? What have you been doing?
What campaign? I haven't done. Were you kidding me?
You won't even let us do the ding here on the show.
I've been anti-campaign.
I know. We can't. Can we start the ding again when people say you've been in the Hall of Fame? Come on. Let's push it over the top here, buddy.
I am a
veteran of some political campaigns here. I know what it might take to get you over the top.
Nobody in this studio has a vote.
You're right.
Not even in the control room, they don't have a vote either. So, yeah, listen, it's awesome. I love the conversation. It's very gratifying. It's humbling. But we talk about it all the time. I'm living the life of Riley here, man. I won the lottery when I walked into my first team meeting, and there were five Hall of Famers in the room, right? So I'm still cashing that ticket. So
how about the life of Riley Plus as a Hall of Famer? Seriously,
plus,
man.
Okay, I get you.
How could you? You can't
That's
deny
my 11
you
wins
would be
plus.
11 plus wins. You would be the man, right? Not that
I would,
you're not
I wouldn't
the man.
Come on this show anymore. That's for
well,
sure.
That's the other thing. We were just talking about Steve gets in the Hall of Fame in January, class of 2020. Are you even going to send in a 2-week notice? Or you won't be on the show anymore.
Yeah,
if what are you talking about?
Sure, I will.
You'll get endorsement deals. You'll take the pork rinds deal away from Andre Reed. You'll be the spokesman for West Herb. Will be begging you to come back.
We can laugh about it. We'll have a few yucks about it. But how fun would it be to do this show in the run-up to Canton?
It'd be great.
It'd be awesome, right?
If you show up once in a while.
We can talk about that, but no, I'd be here every day. It'll be fun.
Congratulations. I'm just teasing.
I think it's great. I'm excited.
And I think it's meaningful that if I got it right here, 7 years when you were not a semifinalist, now you're back in the semifinals. Now, let me go through some of the names. If you're watching on MSG, there are 25 semifinalists, and you know the process here, right? They're going to reduce it to 15 finalists on January 2nd, and then everybody goes to the Super Bowl in Miami, and the full 48-member Pro Football Hall of Fame Selection Committee, selection Saturday, February 1st, the day before the Super Bowl. They'll elect five modern-era players, just five. There is another set-aside centennial celebration class. This is not it. You were not eligible for that.
Right.
But modern-era semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year.
When do they reduce it down?
January 2nd.
Oh, okay.
Can you wait that long?
Absolutely.
January 2nd, they will announce who they reduce it to. Yeah. But look at the names.
That's usually where I drop out of the competition, well, when they go to the final, the 15 guys.
14 players on defense. Steve Atwater, I think, is a solid candidate. But I don't know. Troy Polamalu, first year.
Troy Polamalu's first year eligible.
10 on offense, 14 defense, one special teamer, Steve Tasker. And look, I defy anyone. I'm not going to read all 25 names, but and they're all great players, but Hall of Famers, lock Hall of Famers. Who do you got here? Polamalu, I think Steve Atwater, to my mind. I might say Edgerrin James is a near lock.
Reggie Wayne is his first year of eligibility. Mm-hmm. He's
I don't know if he's a lock.
He's in.
I think you got a chance here, my man. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do think you got a chance.
Well, I'm in the running. I mean, I'm on the list somewhere.
You're on the list of 25.
It's just like those great Bills teams of the past, full of great players. And if you go down that list far enough, you'll come across my name.
What are you talking about? There's only 25 guys eligible for the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Right? It is fun.
You want to call Sarah and talk it over?
She doesn't.
She doesn't come on, care. She's been there.
Yeah, she doesn't. What? It's not that she doesn't care.
What?
Yeah.
Don't tell me that.
I'm telling you, man. I
think it's great. I love the fact that you haven't been a semifinalist in 7 years, and there you are again. I think something is afoot. Congratulations.
I appreciate it.
I tease
it.
You
Thanks.
A lot, but I do.
It's kind of cool.
And they're clapping for you in the control room. Can you hear it?
They're watching Jeopardy out there. They ain't watching us. They might be.
Bills getting set to play the Cowboys. Want to hear from you. The biggest challenge for the Bills. And you can call up and congratulate Steve. We might resurrect the Hall of Fame buzzer, the ding, just for today. Would that be all right?
No.
All right, we will.
If I make the finalists on January 2nd.
January 2nd?
Then you can bring the dinger back.
Deal. Yeah. Deal.
Totally win.
Bills, Cowboys, biggest challenge. What do you think? Phone lines open 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Practice is over. Just about an hour and 10 minutes for the Bills. A light practice. And Bills quarterback Josh Allen met with the media after practice. He was asked a number of things, including Cole Beasley. Anything different about him this week as he returns to his old team, the Dallas Cowboys?
No, same Cole. You know, same guy that comes in here and works extremely hard, communicates well. You know, goes out there and makes some plays. Obviously, it's a short week. We know that. And he's got some, obviously he's been there for a while. And we know what this game is. And, not just what it means to him, but what it means to our team. You know, we're looking for number 9. And we're going against a very, very good team, very good defense. And we got a lot of guys that can make some plays over there, some high-effort dudes. And, we got to prepare and be ready for it, especially on a short week.
Statistically, you know, it's easy to see what he's meant to the wide receiving group. What kind of competitive is
he? No, he's very, very competitive at anything. He's an athlete. He does everything well, whether it's shooting hoops or playing ping pong or rock, paper, scissors. He wants to win. So we got a little hoop in the training room. He's on that thing all the time, especially in the OTAs. And him and some players are going back and forth. But he's very competitive, obviously. Yeah, he's been great for us this year, and I don't expect that to change.
Josh, has he been helpful at all about the idea of Thursday and Thanksgiving? He's done that. He did that a bunch, obviously, with the Cowboys himself.
Yeah. Any questions that you may have if you're on our team, you can go up and ask him. He's very open about it, and guys don't want to overload him with too many questions and things like that. But having that experience of playing on Thanksgiving year in and year out, it's going to play to his advantage. And obviously, to get to be able to talk to him and ask him about certain things and about the crowd and the vibe that goes on there. So it's very helpful to have him here.
John Feliciano said that the upside of having a short week is there's not as much game plan. You can roll the ball out there and do what you do best. Is that something that you kind of embrace a little bit as well?
Yeah, I think most teams do. Usually on Thursdays, you're pretty simple with what you do. It's back to the basics and what you do well. And, we've got our key stuff and our core stuff. And obviously, our coaches did a great job of game planning this past week. And they stayed up, late after hours. And they got the job done there. So we appreciate what the work that they've put in for us. And now it's just time to go out there and trust it, not to second guess, and just go play football.
What's the coolest part for you playing on Thanksgiving?
The coolest part is obviously I remember growing up, waking up on Thursday, going and eating and watching these games all day, and that's all I did, and stuffing my face with mashed potatoes. So I know there's people out there that are going to be doing the same thing, and I'm going to have a good support group there from back home. They're making the trip out. There's probably about 40 of them, so get to see them, and you know, there's a lot to be thankful for. Super blessed, and you know, really can't complain there.
Hey Josh, can you back to Cole for a second? Just what he's meant to, for the development of this offense. I mean, we talked about this even before the season started about how he'd be a great, valuable target for you. Can you kind of 11 games in, kind of give us an update on that?
Well, I mean, the thing about Cole that I don't think really people give him credit for, his football IQ is extremely high. The things that he sees on the field, he's kind of like a quarterback out there. He sees things open before they are. Concepts that he likes that he's given to Coach Dable, and we've incorporated them into our offense, and they're key core plays for us. And, you know, like I said, we appreciate him here, and we appreciate how hard he works each day, and the football knowledge that he has. And for me and him to have that open line of communication when we're on the field, and especially when we're off the field, being able to talk through things that we saw and just try to get on the same page there, it's been awesome.
Is it nice for you to have a guy that you pretty much can expect is going to win this battle? I mean, you go through your progressions, but you can always count on he's probably going to be open somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, he does a great job when he's on the field. And there's not many people that can cover him, to be honest, with how quick and shifty he is. And, you know, he does a lot of work for us in these underneath routes. And he's a real big threat there for us. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Josh, in a short week where the practice reps just aren't there for you guys to get on the same page that way, what do you guys do to kind of get locked in and make sure you guys are in sync absent the reps?
Well, I think the big thing, especially for the whole team, is just making sure that we're getting our recovery, our rest, making sure that our bodies are ready to go. You know, not having those sore legs on a game day, that's going to be tough. And obviously, it's my first Thursday game. Some guys have played in them, and, you know, some of them, this is their first, too. So we just got to lean on the guys that have played in this game before, understand, you know, how to go about things during the week. And I think Coach McDermott's been doing a good job of trying to, you know, keep us healthy and keep us going in the right direction and rehabbing the right way. So we thank Coach for how he's been treating us this past week.
Josh, what does John Feliciano mean to this offensive line up front?
I mean, you can't really just single out one guy, but having him there and just the meanness and the toughness that he brings, the attitude that he brings. But again, he's one of those guys that is extremely smart. You know, he does a lot of things at the line. You know, especially when he got moved to center, how he can play both positions and be in sync and be locked in. And communicate very well. Not many guys can do that, and you know, I love the guy, and you know, he's been awesome for us, and he's going to continue to be awesome.
It's happened now a couple of times in games, you know, where he's had to shift over to center, and it seems like the, you know, the transition between you guys has been pretty seamless. You know, what do you think it is about that relationship that's allowed you guys to do that?
Well, I mean, obviously he comes in, he's a professional, true professional. He comes in and works hard, knows his stuff. He's always studying. And then it's just one of those things off the field. You know, there's a lot of guys I can say this with, but I trust him with everything I've got. Know that he's going to be doing the right thing, and he's going to have my back, and I'm going to have his. And, you know, when you have that type of relationship with a guy, you don't have to worry about him. You know he's going to do his job.
The offensive line has only allowed 4 sacks in the last 4 weeks. And this is a group that, along with Bobby Johnson, completely new from last year. How have you seen them kind of develop throughout the season?
Well, you know, I applaud Coach Johnson for what he's been doing. You know, the attitude, the information that he's been giving them, you know, the techniques that they've been working on, the protections that we've put in. I mean, everything kind of goes into it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's football, and it's a man-whooping man game. And we got some guys up front that I wouldn't trade for anybody. And I truly mean that, and I really appreciate how hard they work. And, you know, when they come into the facility, it's all business. It's all football. So, you know, we got a really great group here.
Josh, I remember last year when you said once you got injured and went off the side and saw how Derek Anderson operated, the game really kind of slowed down for you a little bit. But going into this year, your second year, when do you think this year it started to slow down even a bit more for you?
You know, it's crazy to say it, but probably after that Patriots game. It was one of those games that obviously wasn't pretty, but I think it was necessary for, you know, for growth and for development there. And understanding what I can and can't do on a football field. And I think after that week, I just kind of thought to myself, like, I need to be better. I need to do things different. And, you know, I've been helped out a lot with Coach Dable and Coach Dorsey and, you know, the quarterbacks in our room. I feel like things are going in the right direction right now, and I'm seeing things pretty well. But that's something that can go away. So I had to continue to stay on top of it, continue to keep working hard, timing with the routes. There's still a lot of things that I clean up. I got to clean up, and I will clean up. And I feel like the more that I play, the more that'll get better.
Do you remember what play specifically resonated with you the most?
I probably couldn't pinpoint it down to one play. Yeah.
This is quite a game for your first nationally televised game in the NFL. How do you avoid letting the outside noise and the pressure of it impact the game?
I don't really think it's any different from any other game that we've played. I really don't know the logistic, what makes it a primetime game or whatever. And you know, we're going out there, we're playing football, how we know how to play. I'm going to trust the game plan that we've put in and just try to play, you know, like we've been playing the last few weeks. And obviously they're a tough defense, and they're going to be doing some things that we got to look at and continue to game plan for. And we got to make some in-game adjustments, no doubt. And it's going to be a four-quarter battle with these guys. And we just got to stay on track and go out there and execute the best that we can.
Hey, Josh, did you, your defense will play well all year, obviously, but they're going against an elite offense this week. Do you get the sense that this might be a game where the offense, your offense, is going to have to produce, keep pace, and outscore these guys?
We'll kind of see that and get a feel when we start playing the game, when the game's going on. Obviously, they've got some really good pieces on the offense over there. I know Dak's playing extremely well, and they got a couple of receivers. They got the running back there too. That it's, you know, all pro guy, and so our defense, you know, they're going to have their hands full. So we got to do our part on offense. You know, it's a complimentary football game. You know, we got to all execute in three phases of the game.
What jumps out at you on film when you look at their defense?
Obviously their D line's pretty good. They got some guys that are very high motor. You know, Lawrence is playing extremely well right now. They got some linebackers that move very well, and their DBs are pretty in sync with how they go about their things. So their defensive coordinator's got them in a good spot right now, and we got to go out there. We got to go and, like I said, trust the game plan that we're putting in and go out there and execute the best we can.
There you go. Josh Allen, Bills quarterback, addressing the media. Seems steady, seems focused, right? And he knows what he's up against. I had somebody say to me, I think Josh will be in his first nationally televised game. There's going to be like 30 million viewers. But I think Josh is fine. I don't think he gets rattled.
Didn't they play on a national game last year, second half of the season?
They must have, right? A primetime game, but not 30. Steve, this is the highest-rated
TV show of the month?
No, the highest-rated football game of the season will be this Bills game, I would think. Last year.
Might be.
It was last year, the late Thursday game. Yeah. What was our primetime game last year?
I can't remember. Thursday night football.
Thursday night against somebody.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do you think about this game on Sunday? What's the Bills' biggest challenge with the Cowboys? Go ahead.
I was going to say, anyway, you're right. Josh seems the same.
Yeah.
That, like, this is, let's just go play. Let's just go play our game, which is it's good. Because I told you, when they get down there Thanksgiving and they start to think about what it is, and, you know, they're growing up and watching the Cowboys, and they'll see Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones stand there and, you know. Just calm down. Just be yourself.
This
just
group,
go out and play.
I don't see
just
this group
play.
Getting like that. Just biggest challenge facing the Bills against the Cowboys. That's our Twitter poll. What do you think? Got 830 votes in so far. 60% of you say it's Ezekiel Elliott. I agree. 27% say it's the Cowboys' pass game, Dak Prescott and those good receivers. 9% say it's the Cowboys' pass rush. 4% something else. We will get to your phone calls. We will get to your tweets when we return. Come on back. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive in the Seneca Studio here. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Time now for Reed's Milestones, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. Frank Gore had a major NFL milestone Sunday, and now he has 15,289 career rushing yards, third place all-time on the NFL list. He passed Barry Sanders Sunday, now only trails Emmitt Smith and Walter Payton. Emmitt Smith, the leader, 18,000 yards. A great milestone. I be honest with you, Steve, I felt, and I don't know Frank Gore well. He's only been here for a couple, you know, two-thirds of a season. But I felt honored to be able to call the play-by-play of that moment. I mean, he's third, 100 years of NFL football, he's the third all-time leading rusher. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is. And he's, you know, because it's interesting too, and I've told you this before, you know, there's people who say, who belittle what he's accomplished because he's played for so long.
Yeah.
And to me, he's played so long, that's the accomplishment.
Yeah.
It's not the yards. 16 years playing that spot in the NFL? I don't care if he got, I don't care if he rushed for 300 yards. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Most people have never been through a physical altercation at any point in their life like the physical altercation he goes through 15 times a game on a Sunday.
Yep.
And he's done it for 16 years. Is an absolute phenomenon. I don't know what it is that makes him so different, so capable of being out there. And let me tell you something. The biggest gift he's given the game is his availability.
Yep.
The guy's out there.
Yep.
That is unbelievable. It is absolutely amazing that he has played 16 years at running back in the National Football League. Because you look at, listen, Jim Brown retired. Barry Sanders retired early, and some say all too early. Well, hey, he pulled the ripcord. Frank Denver did. And he's, you got to tip your hat. Now, forget about the numbers. The number that is number 16, the 16 years he has carried the rock in a game that is absolutely brutally physically yep. demanding. And he's done it at a high level.
What do you think of Sunday's or Thursday's game, the Bills and the Cowboys, the Bills' biggest challenge? Let's take a few phone calls on this. Let's go to Edric in New Jersey. Hello, Edric. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Good, good. So I'm going to make my point about Sunday, and then I want to make another statement if you guys allow me to. But anyways, on Thursday, obviously, stopping Ezekiel Elliott is number one. That offense is going to go if he goes. And then obviously if we stop that, we make them one-dimensional, which I think will work to our advantage. We have a great pass defense. I dare to say that our pass defense is elite. Amari Cooper being 75% or whatever percent he is, even if he was 100%, I think Trey White would be up to the task. Michael Gallup is good. Doesn't really scare me. Now what I do want to get to is I kind of want to toot my own horn here. About 2 weeks ago after the Cleveland game, I called in. I was upset. And I said, we got to get the ball to Singletary 15 to 20 times. Last two games, check. We've got to get the ball to Brown and Beasley at least 20 targets a game, check.
He
dropped the mic?
Edric, say that again. After Singletary, you said check, then what?
We lost you. Edric, are you there?
Edric, he was...
And we've got to get the ball. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, but we got to wrap it up. We're going to break. So what's your final point, Edric?
Final point is, I just thought we're doing exactly what I thought we had to do. Last week, Steve, I told you our defense wasn't elite 2 weeks ago. Last week, it was elite. Versus Miami, although we allowed some points, it was elite. You know, I told you that if you stop the run against bad teams, you don't even give them a chance. If Miami would have been able to run that ball 2 weeks ago, I think that game might have been a little different.
Edric, thanks. Thanks for calling. Right. He was right about the last couple of weeks. We're looking forward, and we're going to look forward to the next hour. Kyle Brandt, host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network, standing by to join us in the coming up hour. Come on back with us. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, coming here from the Seneca Studios in Orchard Park, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.